Well, in case you're wondering, I'm not Jimmy Decker. Caught something on his family vacation, and I got a text of, hey, can you help a brother out? And the answer was, of course, of course. So we are continuing our sermon series in the book of Psalms this summer. Today we're talking about Psalm 4. This is a psalm that reminds us how to connect to our Lord and Savior, how to pause, allow time for reflection, to be able to move forward with the confidence that we can only have of our God, our Lord, and our Savior. Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hills, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the words of a friend, the chatter of a child, the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our minds and the calming of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. I'm going to start by reading Psalm 4, and I thought I'd give you the little header that is in my Bible. It says this: a confident plea for deliverance from enemies. A confident plea for deliverance from enemies. A psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. So here we are. David is seeking confidence and peace in a time that he is quite troubled. It is actually more probably an evening prayer. If you read Psalm 3, it's set up around a morning prayer. And I love how he stops what he's doing and all of his things, and he reflects on the Lord. I can only speak for myself, but I do many things sometimes to orchestrate peace, to create a semblance of what to do, what is right, what is wrong. I think we seek it in many different ways. It might be in education. It might be in job titles. It might be in financial security, in relationships that we have with our friends and family, where God may not be the greatest center of our lives. I'm going to show you a confession right now. You ready? This is how I create a sense of peace and order in my life. This is my weekly schedule. I know. It doesn't look peaceful. Green is family and friends. All right, so every morning I'm supposed to walk my dog 2 miles. I think I did it once last week. Thursday and Friday, I could try to go to spin class. Didn't do that. Nope, sure didn't. Strength class on Saturday. Nope, I was at children's camp. That was a different kind of strength class. The brown is our new residency program. So they started this week, and so that is where what they were doing. Red is church. Blue is baptisms. And purple is Baylor schoolwork that I like to do for fun on my day off. And I do this every Thursday. I sit down at my computer every Thursday, look at the week ahead, and put some time blocks. If I'm preaching, I do the sermon prep Monday afternoon and Wednesday afternoon. If I'm doing other things, I'll put it in there. I do some blocks for staff time. Yet really, am I in control of my day each and every day? Even if I color code green for family, red for church, brown for residency, purple for school. No. This is what I do to create a false sense. Okay, take it down. It's giving everybody anxiety. This calendar is something I've always done. I like a sense of order. I like a sense of knowing what is to come. I tried to take a screenshot of my calendar empty, like nothing on it. I had to go to 2032 because I've put things there just to schedule them weekly, right? Yet what you didn't see on my calendar is the most important thing I do every morning when I'm my best self. I get up, I have a cup of coffee, I take it out back, and I sit and I pray with God. I say, how can you use me? Sometimes I use an app called Lectio 365, and it reads scripture, and it's really peaceful and beautiful. And that is when I am my best self. That is when I'm living out my best life, where I let go of any semblance that I've created of that is actually my peace, right? Order is my peace. But it doesn't, just because it's on my calendar doesn't mean it's going to happen. You know what happens when I'm in my office? Somebody knocks on the door. I also now have four residents who are residing in my office with me. If you think I get anything productive done in my office right now, it's a joke. But it is a joy. And actually, the interruptions that happen in my life are usually the things that I need most, that I enjoy most. So I thought I would go through this scripture kind of section by section. In verses 1 through 3, we'll focus on verse 1. We hear David begins really in kind of a desperate plea. Answer me when I call. See, sometimes our greatest mistake isn't praying poorly. It's not praying. It's not asking God to be here with us. Sometimes we feel like we can hide our desperation, our fear, our anxiety from God, but we all know that God knows us. And what prayer does, what David is doing in this moment, isn't fixing, it's connecting his heart to God. And really giving it to God. We see that in the next verse, which really got me this week. Verse 4, when you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. You see, in this moment, David pauses. He reflects. Instead of reacting, he uses reflection. I honestly had something last night that I couldn't stop thinking about. And I just preached the sermon Saturday night at 5:30, came home, had a lovely dinner with my family, and then I was overthinking something. And I just kept saying as I was going to bed, I give this to you, God. I cannot fix this tonight, maybe not even tomorrow, but I release it and give it to you. A modern way to look like this, this was kind of one of the things we did in our family. It's called the 5-5-5 rule, okay? So when you are thinking about it, it's kind of what David did here. He pauses, and this is a modern way to pause. I do it in business. I do it in relationships. I did it with raising my kids. In 5 days, is this still gonna feel as big as it is? What about in 5 weeks? What about in 5 months? will I even remember how I'm feeling right now in 5 years? You see, because David notices that every feeling that he has comes from God. Every feeling that we have is real and true. The only thing we can do to respond to that, I believe, in a Christ-like way, is to pause. Because the control we have is how we respond in our fear, in our anguish, in our despair. David was worried that he was going to be taken by enemies at the night. He was worried for his life. And here we have, right, verses 1, already in verse 4, he says, when you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. The sin right there is the spinning, the overthinking. Instead of pausing and releasing it to God. I want you to ask this week the question, where am I seeking peace that is not in God? I've shown you my cardinal sin. It's organizing things, because that way I'll know peacefully what is to come about my week. Yet, in reality, if I don't have my cup of coffee with God every morning, listen to my devotion, or just sit and say, God, where do you need me today? How can I pray for my friends? How can I be a neighbor? How can I be a part of the church in a way that is good and pure and holy? That moment actually just gave me chills. That moment is actually how I order my day. That moment allows me to be a pastor with compassion. It allows me to be a wife with true love. It allows me to parent adult children with grace and compassion. Without that, I just look to order, to color coding things, to create a sense of what is real. And that's not what gives me peace. And I just love that we went from 1 to 4, and already he's saying, lie down in peace. And none of his circumstances changed. The only thing that changed was him recognizing that when he went to bed at night, God was still awake. So I had a really bad idea for a sermon illustration, and I chose not to do it. You're welcome. I was going to tell everybody as you came in to turn your phones on. I wanted to hear every bing, dot, buzz, phone call, alert that you would have in this hour, in this space. Think about how absolutely chaotic, unworship-filled that would be. I experienced this recently. I just went to the children's camp, the preteen camp, with our church, and I had kind of a cushy job. I was the camp chaplain, so I had my own little room. I didn't have the opportunity to sleep with children. But in that, I kept my phone on at night. I'm the queen of, like, not notifications being silenced at certain times. Like, if you're not my family, you're going to voicemail, right? Well, at this camp, I couldn't do that. And so there was a GroupMe text thread that was going on, and it was binging and bopping and dinging till like midnight. Mama likes to go to bed around 9:30, 10. And it was seriously annoying, because actually nothing was going on. People were talking about their good day. Somebody needed the nurse for something, but there was nothing of consequence in any of these texts, right? Here's another modern day illustration. Think about every notification you have on your phone, every text message you give, every email. Look at what a phone could look like. We've got 8,660 emails to get to, 23 YouTube videos, WhatsApps too. You got to return 102 messages. I don't understand how people live like this. I know some of you are out here. I don't get it. Like, if I have a red dot on my phone, I must do something about it. Which is why I have most of my notifications. We got a new dishwasher. My dishwasher texts me. Like, what? It will tell me, dishes are done. And I'm like, I'm at work. How is this happening? This Psalm of David is when you silence all the notifications. This Psalm of David is when you can put your phone off and you hear only the peace of God. It doesn't change the amount of emails you have to respond to. It doesn't change in David's circumstances that his enemies are waiting for him throughout the night. It changes your heart. It changes your heart. The next part says this: let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. Right, we went from desperation and fear and shame to the light of Christ. This image we have here, you see that, right? Like, that looks like a cool place to lay your head at night. It's comfortable. It's calm. I don't see a phone charger on the nightstand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding is in this verse. And I don't think I gave this to the tech, but the verse 7 says, you have put gladness in my heart more than where the grain and wine abound. And I want to just notice that for a second. Because they're talking about abundance, right? The light of your face, the abundance of his presence that produces this joy that cannot be bought, that cannot be taken away. This abundance of God's joy is in the hope that God's light is ever present, whatever your situation might be. So David, here he is, ends with this: I will both lie down and sleep in peace. Notice, he's going to lie down. Like, he shouldn't lie down. He should be alert. He should be looking for what is to come to him throughout the night. He started in that place of fear, and then just in verse 8, he says, I will lie down and sleep in peace. It's honestly one of the most hopeful verses in Scripture. Because what we may or may not believe is, again, David is surrounded by this uncertainty, enemies, problems, yet he sleeps. Peace isn't fixing our problems. The problems are still there. The notifications are still there. The ding that I should go to spin class will be there on Thursday. I may or may not choose to respond. But it's the exchange of panic for prayer. Peace is not something we get to create. We can't order it. It is something that God gives us. What a gift. You think about something that you might have in abundance. Maybe you feel pride when you check your bank account. Maybe you look at your family and you see the love that is there. Maybe you see relationships of friends and families. That's what they're talking about in this abundance. But David is talking about abundance in God, so that he can lay down and sleep in peace. I practiced this last night. As I started spinning and turning and overthinking, actually a very simple situation when I use the 5-5-5 rule. I probably won't even remember it in 5 weeks. But last night it felt big. And I just said, I'm giving this to you, God. This is not mine to fix. This is yours. And then I'd start thinking again and I'd say it again. I'm giving this to you, God. And I finally got up and got my Bible and I said, I will both lie down, which is letting go, right? And I will sleep in peace, knowing that you are awake, that you are protecting me, that you are surrounding my family with your love and your grace. So ask yourself this week, where are you creating peace? And where do you need to let go and let God fully have control? Sometimes I think it's said best in the words of a child. So I asked Google, what did children say about peace? And I found this picture. Peace is a quiet creature that is able to nap happily in the sun. Doesn't that just feel sweet? I sometimes watch my dogs out back and they just like clunk, flop out and like just lay in the sun. That can be what we feel, the warmth of the sun, the peace that we're able to let go and sleep. So let this psalm be a prayer for you this week. I ask you not just to read it, not just to say it, but to pause and let it seep in. So your heart can be changed and you can truly feel the peace that can't be purchased and it can't be taken away. It can only bring the calm in a storm. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we go about today, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. May we not worry about the words that we say when we pray. Let us focus on you. Let us focus on the rest that we can get in living our lives through your love, through your peace. Even though our circumstances may not change, our heart has. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.